done, now that you had time to digest what I just filled your brain with, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that somebody, if you're going to fish tournament trail, you better know the rules. And if you don't, the consequences are going to be as they're going to be.
Well,
more than likely, because if they knew the rules and then still did that, they shouldn't be in the circuit.
Well, the thing that's every year where there's a boundary, Green Bay is a prime example. If we launch out of Okano, we can't come down below, in Green Bay, it's called the spark plug. Basically, it's a buoy or a big tower that starts the shipping channel into Green Bay.
Right.
You can't go south of that line.
Yeah.
And you can fish north. Or if you're launching out of Green Bay, then you can't get north of a line of wherever. They want to restrict the amount of traveling with the fish that they get, right?
Right, right.
Well, we have to know that line. We have to.
And I'm sure everybody's told. You have rules meetings prior to every one of these tournaments.
The tournament says it's going to be coming here next year. You know that you can go upriver, you can go up into Pool 3, but you can't go fish into the St. Croix River because the limit is different.
Right.
You have one rod, you only get one over, meaning over slot limit of 21, I believe it is. And that's not, I'm sorry, you can't go above the line.
Like I say, they cover the rules before because every body of water is different.
Absolutely.
In the States or in Canada. So there's different limits on every lake, different sizes, different slots. So
Well, and the funny part is, as we listen to the video, it's on Facebook, in the response from the MWC or
NWT.
NWT, who's run by Robert Cartledge with the MWC as well, their statement was that it was an unintentional violation. But where you're at. You got your GPS. You know where the red line is. You know what the regulation is. It doesn't matter whether or not you don't know it. It's part of what you need to know as a professional angler.
It's kind of like getting caught speeding at 75 miles an hour. I didn't know what speed limit was.
Oh, yeah.
A good analogy, Don.
In 55 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Same thing. On to some cool news outside of some, I will say this, it's going to be popcorn on that other story, though. It really is.
Well, maybe next week you can give an update on it.
I think we'll have one up, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, City of Pittsburgh, we headed off the tease at the beginning of the show. City of Pittsburgh is seeking archers to help deal with deer population crisis in parks. 30 hunters must pass background checks and pass an accuracy test. they're going to be randomly selecting 30 archers to go bow hunting in two city parks in an effort to control the deer population in coordination with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The city of Pittsburgh is preparing for a pilot program with archery-controlled hunts in Frick and Riverview parks during 23-24 deer archery season. So, anyone who wishes to hunt in one of those parks will enter a lottery system, and 30 people will be selected. To be eligible, you must live in Allegheny County. No, you can't from the Midwest go running out to Pittsburgh. That's not going to happen. Clean criminal check, Pennsylvania Game Commission background check, purchase an antlerless deer permit for the Pittsburgh Wildlife Management Unit area. After being selected from the lottery and passing the background check, archers will be required to attend an accuracy test. The accuracy test is passed. Each hunter will be assigned a hunter ID number and a specific location within each of those parks where they're permitted to hunt. And they will be selected for the program. They'll have a zero tolerance policy, will be immediately removed from the program if they found to have violated any program guidelines. They must shoot a doe as their first kill. Doe then will be donated to a food bank. I had buck on my mind. You like that? Archers who shoot more than two deer from the area of the park will be given preference in subsequent seasons. That's cool. You perform, you're going to be asked to do it again. They're not permitted to use bait, cannot publicly share pictures of their harvest per the city. Frequently asked questions section of the website explained that the deer population has grown out of control and become dangerous to themselves and to humans. So maintaining a healthy deer population is critical to both the park health and deer herds. The large deer population has exacerbated the food source, limiting native vegetation ability to root and regenerate. And there are no natural predators in those particular parks, so they just keep going on. Car deer collisions, ecosystem damage, and unnatural aggression towards pets and people are part of the issue. And
So you can hunt in Pittsburgh.
Pretty cool.
That's not that unusual, though.
Not in a city park.
You can in Red Wing.
I'm talking in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Yeah, but they're in areas where it's safe to hunt.
There are.
It's not in your neighborhood park.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's Animal Care and Control picked 335 deceased deer, and in 2021, Animal Care removed over 510 deer from either car or other accidents of such. And
it's a lot bigger area.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know, what people don't understand, and this is the funny part about this whole deal, if you've ever heard that radio interview with the woman calls up and they're talking about deer crossings, and
yep.
and she's like, I don't know why they have the deer crossing signs there. They need to move the deer crossing signs because that's an unsafe location. They need to move it where we can see them better.
Right.
I think it's where the People Don't Get It program comes into play.
Yep.
And you can't fix non-intelligence.
You can't fix the signs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or stupid. One of the two. It's honestly, I mean, when I worked in Woodbury.
Yeah, they got to work on teaching the deer to read the signs.
Sign, everywhere sign.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, quick story here before we take a break. We're looking at the Minnesota Roadside Survey for pheasants, and the numbers are up big in the Southwest. Statewide average 10% increase from 2022 and are 26% above the 10-year average. 53 birds per 100 miles were found this year, 53 per 100 miles. And again, that's
53
driven.
Birds per 100 miles?
Yeah. Of road.
I'm not going to stand compared atop with, my chair and start
compared
clapping.
With 48 in 2022. The pheasant index increased 100% in the Southwest region, 38% in the West Central region. Other areas saw a decrease in pheasant numbers, with the numbers dropping 39% in Central, 63% in East Central, and 11% in the South Central, and 50% in Southeast, which would be us in right. our region of the Red Wing.
We don't see many.
No.
Many birds around here. It's primarily because we've got a lot of wildlife that enjoy them.
Yep, exactly. Weather and habitat, as we all know, but again, reiterate, they're the main influences in Minnesota pheasant population trends, whether they cause annual fluctuations in pheasant numbers, but it also habitat drives long-term. And last but not least, to wrap this up, they monitor the testing. There's 167 different routes that 25 miles in length of each route, with 148 routes located in the pheasant range. They drive early routes in the morning, record the number of farmland wildlife game species they see. Then they provide a index of species abundance and are used to monitor the fluctuations. So
100% accurate.
100% accurate. Right.
Thank you, mail truck ladies and men.
Thank you, people of whoever are driving on those roads. Yes, we appreciate your business. Thank you for playing.
And it's good to hear they're going up, though.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. So hang tight. Speaking of hanging in there. We'll be right back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. So, Don, you don't think those are big numbers?
Well, you know, I lived in Southwest Minnesota for most of my life.
Yep.
And, you know, there were times when we're just right above Iowa, and there's a lot of farm fields, but
not far from South Dakota.
No. Well, I mean, we're about 100 miles east of South Dakota, but everything going west now, the population of birds declined. Quite a bit.
It's
because so much of the ag, turned into ag land, so there weren't a lot of natural habitat. Now with all of the efforts of Pheasants Forever and all of the organizations that are looking for habitat, it's really bringing this around. But when you start comparing it to what's going on in South Dakota, I believe that's coming back as well. I mean, in its peak, we're talking a half a bird per mile in Minnesota compared to maybe 15 birds per mile in South Dakota.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You brought this up, the CRP situation.
Yes.
The downward trend in CRP enrollment.
Yes.
It persisted again in 2023. They lost another 18,000 acres. A net loss was 9,000 because there's some protected habitat compared to 2022 because it increases in easement programs. But nonetheless, net loss 9,000. And, you know, so you'll talk about minimal birds, right? So got to hunt with Ron Shera, Raven, and Steve Carney. Steve Carney is a writer for Outdoor News.
Okay.
And big hunter, loves hunting, talks about his dogs all the time. Great guy. Well, we're out hunting. And I'm kind of hanging back. I want Ron and Steve to shoot. And bird gets up. Carney is on the bird before it even gets like just creasing the top of the corn when it's the appropriate time to shoot. That bird is gone, down. It's boom. He is so fast on it. Ron is like, Steve, do I even get a chance to see what it is? he is pounding these birds so fast. He goes, Eric, you got to understand. I have the same box of shells I had for the last 10 years in my hunting vest. He said, I get this kind of action. I don't want the bird to get away. I can't afford to get the bird away. I immediately think I'm in Minnesota. And what happens when you're in Minnesota? That one's got to count because that's my one bird for the day.
Yeah, you might see three.
You might see maybe see three. The other two are out of shooting range. So we had an absolutely amazing chuckle about it. And it was funny because Ron was getting frustrated because Steve was closer to a cut corn line and they were just cutting the corn. And he come around the corner, Raven's working, just doing great. Bird gets up on Ron's side and Steve shot that one too. It was awesome. And just to sit back and watch the interaction between those two guys, they've known each other for years. I've known those guys as well. But to see that come out and finally Steve's like, okay. I got two birds. I'm happy. Ron, go ahead. You could shoot now.
I've hunted with guys like that that are so good, so quick, so accurate. They finally just have to put the rifle down or the shotgun down because
it's the same for me. It's always rooster pow.
Yep.
Rooster pow. And I'm like, I didn't even have my gun up yet.
Yeah.
You're not even, and it's
I'm
almost
not even
like,
ready.
You're not even looking in the right direction.
No. I'm still trying to identify if it's a hen or a rooster.
Well, and most of the time, it's like when you're hunting at the Grand Lodge, rooster, 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 you can get at least three of them out, right? And you get to say it. But
hopefully everybody gets a chance to experience that once. It's pretty amazing.
It's, Grand Lodge in Highmore, South Dakota. What an amazing experience. The people, the whole thing is just outstanding. If you're ever looking for a lodge to go hunt pheasant, full service, everything, lodging, food, the whole nine yards, they are awesome people. And Mike and crew are pretty cool people. So
yeah, you'll be family when you leave.
Absolutely, every single time. You've been out salmon fishing before, haven't you, Don?
Salmon fishing, you mean on...
on any of the Great Lakes?
Yes.
Fun.
Yes, absolutely.
You never know what you're going to get. It's a box of chocolates.
Yes.
It really is. I had a blast this year when I went, and I plan to go more because I think I'm getting out of my fish to smoke. I need more fish to smoke.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like going buying it at the grocery store. But recently, Minnesota, Lake Superior, record coho salmon was caught, breaking a 53-year-old record. David Chikaz, I think I'll call it Chikaz, and his wife Skye, they set the Minnesota record coho. They caught it on Labor Day. 53-year-old record. They caught a 10-pound, 14-ounce coho salmon, and it was aboard Fish North Minnesota Charters, Captain Kent Paulson, fishing out of Duluth Harbor.
It was amazing. How big? 12 pounds?
10 pounds, 6 ounces. They caught 5 lake trout in the first 40 minutes of the trip, just shy of the limit, switched all the baits over to flasher flies for salmon, moved lures up high in a water column and turned the boat around, headed back toward Duluth. First 5 minutes after switching, we had a fish just hammer a downrigger about 50 feet down. By the time he got to the rod, the fish had ripped off 150 feet of line. They do that. Yeah. It's like, I own you, and they just start stripping off line. They got an 11-pound reading, but they had to go confirm it. Excited, they brought it back to Super One Foods in Superior Street and weighed it at 10.92 pounds on a certified scale. And
that was a state record.
Yeah. And you know where they're from?
I don't.
Wabasha.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Local connection. Kind of thought that was a cool part of the story. But they said they had a great day out there. And it's all, it was amazing fish. Absolutely tank. Just a tank. And again, keep in mind, it's not that coho is not like a king. It doesn't get to be 30 pounds by any means. So
you really got me thinking, because I actually caught one out of Ashland. We were fishing out of Ashland, Wisconsin, at the Wisconsin Governor's Fishing Opener many moons ago. And I got the first place trophy for it, but it seemed to me it was almost that size.
Don.
Nobody said anything.
Well, good story coming out of it. They're looking at Lake Superior. The remarkable 2022 Cisco hatch is fueling the incredible fish growth in Lake Superior right now. Warmer than average summer. Abundance of Cisco is forage. The salmon are going to be back. They're saying it's on a three-year cycle in their second year of that. And they figured it's a 3 or 4 year old fish. And it is a amazing fish there. So there you have it. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. And stay tuned. Next week, we'll be back for sure. Have a great weekend. See you. Bye.